Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Election Day Eve in America. My goodness, people will start voting. Isn't it that little small town? There's a small town in New Hampshire, right?
Dixville Notch.
Thank you very much, Don Jorgensen, where the whole town gets together at 12:01, right? Right, Don?
Right.
And they cast their ballots, and then they count them because everybody's registered, has cast a ballot, so they're usually the first in the country to tell us how they're going.
Right, and it usually is not a good predictor either way of who wins. But good for them.
The Buckmaster Show on this November the 7th, 2016. Don Jorgensen with us for our Monday political face-off, as is our friend James Kelly. Jim Kelly, longtime Republican activist, and I called Jim on very, very short notice today. And I owe you one, Jim. We're going to have Bruce Ash was going to all set to come in, but his wife has broken her ankle. So we want to wish her well. She's doing well, I understand, but thanks for coming in on.
Absolutely not a problem. I love doing the show.
The Buckmaster Live Line 790-2040 for your calls, comments, and suggestions. Every Monday we do our Monday political face-off on the Buckmaster Show. Our team of commentators today, Don Jorgensen. Don is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and Jim Kelly, Republican activist with us. The Monday face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and family have been specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems, i.e. Moe makes house calls. He'll take care of everything you need, regardless of the size. He will manage to get it up on the wall and manage to make it look very good. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Moe, thank you very much for your support of our Monday political face-off. I know you enjoy good political dialogue with folks from both sides of the political fence, and that's what we try to do here on the face-off. So, Don Jorgensen, in a few hours, people will be voting. And I put this out on Facebook for my friends, and there's been a lot of response just a couple of hours ago about healing, that regardless whoever wins tomorrow, Wednesday, we're going to wake up, the world goes on, the sun's going to come out, hopefully, and life will go on. But how do we get everybody back to feel like they're Americans and, hey, we're all in the same boat?
Well, I do have a lot of friends who are therapists, and I think they're looking forward to good business in the next month.
Yeah, and they've probably had quite a few people coming in who have been very upset about the election.
They actually have.
Yeah.
I happened to talk to a friend who's a longtime therapist in town, and the stress that she's dealing with many of her clients revolves right around the election. So it has been a year unlike many years in recent history. You're absolutely right. And the whole question of coming together, there's two sides to it. Number one, everyone's going to wake up in their beds tomorrow or on Wednesday morning and realize life goes on. And these cycles have happened on either side with extreme decisions from time to time. And the nation heals. You know, you can go back to the 1800s when we had, you know, the corrupt bargain and you had other issues like this. It is different this time because of the onslaught of media, because of the length of time of these campaigns. So folks will not be healing on Wednesday morning. I mean, just look at how much time it took for folks after both primaries, after both conventions to come around to in their party to supporting their party nominee, and some never did. Now we're magnifying that 100 times. So it will take some time. What I'm going to watch for is what happens in Congress, because I think it's the Senate in particular, the House to some degree, but the Senate in particular will really lead the way in demonstrating whether there is real leadership for coming together and healing the country from in terms of the political activity, or just this increasing split. One of the things we know is that the American people are very tired of this continued acrimony in Congress, of this divisiveness, of the extremism, and want folks to come and be able to work together. Hillary Clinton has talked about that. She certainly has experience doing that in the Senate. The challenge will be to be able to do that as president if, as many of us hope, she does become president. The polls are leaning that way, but you know, we're all going to be holding our breath regardless. Trump hasn't demonstrated that. So I'm going to look to see if you're going to have folks like Chaffetz out of Utah, who was promising to try to impeach Hillary even before she's elected or has even become president, or you're going to have folks saying, look, we do need to come together. We need to do things like their job in holding hearings for Supreme Court nominees, or is this going to be continued obstruction? That's where I'll be looking.
Reconciliation, where does it begin? How does it begin, Jim Kelly?
Well, there is a difference in our society today than there was 100 years ago or 200 years ago when you had these very acrimonious kinds of national elections. One of them is that we don't have nearly the foundational base of common religion and moral authority and moral behavior that America had at the turn of the century, that America had after Eisenhower left office. So things started changing in the late 60s, which pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. And now the so-called new silent majority that could very well, and I believe and a lot of other people believe, that by a slim margin, Donald Trump can be our president. Unless we have that commonality of moral foundation, which we found for many, many years in a book called The American Book of Common Prayer. The three major religions of the United States used that book: Lutherans, Presbyterians, and Episcopalians. But that, even those are splintered groups now. So all this splintering of all of this stuff that has taken away any kind of a commonality of faith makes forgiveness difficult. So where is that forgiveness going to come from? I don't believe that forgiveness is going to come with a political solution. It's going to come from I believe two things. First off, from at the very small community level first. If you are living in a city like Tucson that has a plurality of political thought, through their own need for survival, forgiveness is going to have to come. But the more and more you get to, say, larger cities like a Detroit or an Atlanta or a New York, whose political thought is not as pluralistic, where it tends to be far, far more of a majority, either Republican or majority, either Democrat, those are going to be the least likely, I believe, to start forgiving each other and the most likely to continue the acrimony. When you get west of the Mississippi, you start dealing with senators that Don is talking about that have a need for their own survival to be able to work with the other side to get things done for their states that they need to do. Same thing with congressional districts as well. When you have to have plurality and you have to have for your own survival and to do the right things, you are more likely to work with the other side, whether you are in the minority or whether you're in the majority. So again, the challenge is going to be where you have a more homogeneous political thought. Those are the ones that I think are going to be the most difficult to get to work with the other side, because they will always say no compromise, no compromise, no compromise. So that's where we're going to be on Wednesday morning.
And in many ways, Don Jorgensen, that no compromise has been the watchwords for the past 4 years.
That's right. That's a result of the extremism. And I have to disagree with a lot of what James says. You know, there's a difference between kind of moral foundations and religious. Those are two different things. And a lot of what he's described has led to a lot of disenfranchisement of folks from other religions, Jewish, Muslim, minorities who aren't going to look at that in the same way. And I think it's it's again the commitment on the part of these politicians and folks in Congress to put the Constitution ahead of their personal religious beliefs. You also mentioned the senators out west. Well, let's look at Senator John McCain, who isn't trying to appeal to both sides or work to the middle. He's, in fact, been going farther to the right, and he's been one of the folks leading the charge against doing his constitutional job, which is to hold hearings on Supreme Court nominee. We're not talking about voting for or against. We're talking about their constitutional duty.
John McCain does have a constitutional duty. He's got a constitutional duty to ensure that the Supreme Court is not an activist far left court that ignores the Constitution.
Well, there's no evidence of that. What there is evidence of is his willingness not just to obstruct it in the last 6 months, which is unprecedented, but to even argue that they should obstruct the process for the next 4 years because his favored candidate is not elected.
Do I need to remind you of what the far left did when they even created their own verb called borking a nominee? Now, this has been going on for a long time.
And what did they do? They held hearings for Robert Bork.
The guilt of obstructionism does belong to both sides. But But Senator McCain is certainly going to do his constitutional duty. And part of that constitutional duty is vetting Supreme Court justices. And I guarantee you he will do it well.
He hasn't done it. He's refused to do it. So.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. James Kelly, Jim Kelly, and Don Jorgensen go at it for another round. If you'd like to join us, 790-2040. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We'll be right back.
Sadly, animal abandonment and neglect happen to millions of animals every day. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona sees these cases all the time, and we want to save as many of these forgotten animals as we possibly can. Your support helps us help animals like Bobby, Elise, Jackie, and Mickey get the care and love they deserve. Please give to the forgotten and show them someone cares. Visit hssaz.org/forgottenfund to make your gift now.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. It is our Monday Political Face-Off, brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, they are on Facebook. Don Jorgensen is here, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and Jim Kelly, who has been very active in Republican politics here for many years in Tucson and Pima County. Jim, what happens to the Republican Party going forward? You had, I think, in the primary, 61% did not cast a vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah, depending upon what state you're in,
yeah.
But across the country, he won with the plurality at about 39% to 40% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's put it this way. I think at least three of those losing 16 candidates that ran for the Republican nominee are going to put their organizations together to vie for the leadership of the GOP. If the brand Grand Old Party or Republican even survives. I think that...
And I asked that question because Trump could still win, and
right.
You're going to have...
Even if Trump wins...
Even if Trump wins, you're going to have a
right.
very a large group of Republicans who...
They're going to look for another identity.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I
don't
think that's
ask that question, assuming.
But it all
Trump
depends upon where the money goes. It all depends upon where the money goes. Does the establishment money form sort of a Jeb Bush kind of constituency? Does Marco Rubio, more centrist kind of? Money, you know, stick with him, and does the alt-right stick with Ted Cruz? Don't know. Absolutely don't know. But I do know that there's going to be a lot of meetings. I know Rens Priebus is going to have some challengers. There are a couple on the list that may challenge him that might have a shot at taking over the chairmanship. But again, it all depends. If Trump's president, Rens may save his job. Mm-hmm. If Trump is not president, then there's going to be a free-for-all, I think, for leadership in the Republican Party.
And what about the Democratic Party?
Well, if the difference there is if Hillary wins, she'll become the de facto head of the party, and her challenge is to continue to appeal to the Bernie Sanders supporters, more progressive, and bring those together. I think she's demonstrated some ability to do that, not completely, and you're never going to get the extremes on either end of either party to come to the middle. If she loses, then I think folks will view that as, again, the old guard of the Democratic Party.
And then they will look to the next
generation. Moving on, and looking to
the
next generation. Exactly.
And who would be some of the players in the next generation?
Boy, that's a good question.
Yeah.
It is a
Who's
good question.
Who's on the bench?
Yeah.
Who has the name recognition in the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Well, that isn't old and white.
No. frankly, I think if she loses, you're going to be looking toward folks like Elizabeth Warren. To come forward. And there will be a view toward the more progressive wing of the party. But 4 years is a long time. We've seen that with candidates on both sides for years and years. No one knew who Barack Obama was. No one expected Trump to run 4 years ago. And so those names are probably names we don't even know of yet. Nobody knew Marco Rubio
right.
or Ted Cruz
right.
on the other side 4 years ago.
And I'm telling you, the Hispanic population's demographic growth in the United States is going to change the politics of both parties no matter what, and they're going to change them forever. Because generationally, the Hispanic is going to be minority-majority in many, many congressional districts.
And you have the millennial population now becoming a larger, it already is a larger voting block than the baby boomers.
Right.
So all of those demographics have already changed. I think we'll see the first wave of that with tomorrow night's results.
I think you're right. I think this is in many ways a tipping point election.
It is.
For years we've heard about the Hispanic population growth in Arizona and how it is going to affect the voting. And from what we're understanding, it looks like a lot of Hispanics have early voted here in Arizona.
Right. And everybody has assumed that that Hispanic vote is going to go with the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. But again, millennial Hispanics have a very, very different view of politics than their parents do. Tim Steller had a fantastic article on Sunday regarding just that, the difference between the younger Marquezes and the older Marquezes.
Right.
They tend to, the older Marquezes are Democrat. The younger Marquezes are entrepreneurial, faithful, and Republican because it's a natural fit for that demographic.
I disagree, and here's why. First of all, I know the Marquezes as well. I'm both parents and kids, all friends. Yeah. I like them all. But those are the two younger have been activists for a long time.
Yeah.
The difference now is we have Hispanic population voting who have not been active and are coming out this time, despite efforts each of the last elections, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years ago, where there has been registration efforts, get out the vote efforts. What we saw 2 years ago is registration increase, but the voting did not. And that was despite a lot of efforts by folks like Ruben Gallego, a little bit from Grijalva. I think this time you have the results of that continued effort and the spark that was needed. And that spark was Donald Trump's racism.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Here's where people have missed a lot with regards to demographics for the Hispanic vote. Univision has done some great things in terms of data collection. The point is this: faith, family, country is an experience that the 35 to 45-year-old Hispanic has had in this country because they have had economic growth, they have been entrepreneurial, they've been small business starters, and I'm telling you, faith, family, country will always gravitate to the Republican Party or a conservative version of the Republican Party.
And I hope the Republicans continue to think that because it has proven to not be accurate.
All right, let's go to Greg, has been waiting patiently. Hey, Greg, how are you today?
Well, I'm fine. Beautiful day out, isn't it?
Thank you very much for calling. What's on your mind?
I want to see if any of you guys, or all of you guys, maybe you already have, are you willing to make predictions about what's going to be happening tomorrow?
Predictions.
I
think I'll leave that to my guests.
I mean, that, you know, party affiliation aside, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
Exactly, in Pima County particularly, because these local races, if nobody understands this, the local races are so important. They have more to do with our daily life than anybody at the national level. And the other side of the coin is local races create the bench for the later national candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we looking at? I think the three most important races are County Supervisor 3, the Sharon Bronson-DeMarco matchup. I think the TUSD board and the congressional race for Congressional District 2.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three most important
and the
races.
Sheriff's race.
And the sheriff's race, absolutely. So my prediction, Mark Napier is our next sheriff on Wednesday morning. Martha McSally is going to continue to be our member of Congress on Wednesday morning. I think we're going to lose at least one of the TUSD boards, and it's not going to be Mark Stegman. It's most likely going to be Cam Juarez. Crystal Foster may keep her seat, and we're also going to pick up a seat either with Betts Putnam Hidalgo either picks it up or Rachel Sedgwick picks it up. Roustand, maybe, but I think it's going to be Rachel Sedgwick that picks up the Cam Juarez seat.
Don, what do you think? Don Jorgensen.
I don't disagree with what you're saying about the TUSD board, except that I don't think it's a harbinger of anything because it's such a contained, bizarre race. And it's nonpartisan in that sense, too. But the other races, I think you are probably correct in those. However, I would keep a close eye on the McSally-Hines numbers. She's touting huge advantages, and I'm not sure that's the case. I'm not sure that she's made the case as well as she could. She's been aligned pretty closely with the Republican majority. And the turnout in Pima County is very telling. It's going to be, I don't know if it'll be a record high turnout, but we're looking at the potential of 80% turnout.
I mean, we've had already early voting something like 300,000, close to 300,000.
What is it, 80% of the registered voters have already returned their ballot?
Yeah. No. That will after the election. Yeah. However, we've had a high return already in early ballots, and about a 2,000 to 2,400 advantage Democrats over Republicans in early ballot returns. Now, that doesn't tell us who they're voting for, but it tells us that the interested voting is huge. My concern with the voting here in Pima County, more so in Arizona, is the attempts at voter suppression and the effect that's having. You know, just in Maricopa County in the past couple of years after the destruction of the Voting Rights Act, we've gone from 200 polling places to 60. Mm-hmm. Nationwide in the South, over 800 polling places are gone. And those disproportionately affect minorities. You look at already now the early voting in different states where they have to line up. There are folks waiting in line for 5 hours. If you're a working man or woman, you can't take that kind of time off work. And that's who it's disenfranchising. In Pima County, we'll keep a close watch on what's happening with the polls because of that as well.
All right. Got to run. Jim Kelly, thank you very much, Jim,
for coming in.
Don Jorgensen, always a pleasure. As usual, thanks a lot. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery. Find framing located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, moesgallery.com, and on Facebook. For any of your framing need, I strongly recommend a call to Moe's. Check it out. Thank you, Moe. Appreciate your support. We'll be right back with General John Wickham right after this.
Are you chemically sensitive? Worried about exposing your family and pets to chemicals sprayed around your home?
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control may be your answer. Our patented treatment process has been used on many chemically sensitive families' homes. Homeowner and pet interaction with the termite barrier is rare because it's held safely within the wall void. We won't treat the soil in the yard where your pets and children play.
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control, treating the termites' food, not the earth. 886-0045.
We're Five-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap
and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday at noon, tax credit time already. We will have how you can help. Also, the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report with Tucson Weekly Arts Editor Margaret Regan. Buckmaster on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, and live streaming at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:35 on this Monday afternoon on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, where we have worldwide live listening anywhere, really. If you've got a computer, you can hit KVOI.com and, of course, BuckmasterShow.com, both places where you get the live stream of the show. It was a great weekend to do gardening over at Green Things. It's always a good day and always a beautiful location on 13 acres at 3384 East River Road. We're so proud of the sponsor, Jan and Jack. They do such a great job. Just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, go to their website, greenthingsaz.com, to learn about this upcoming weekend, their workshops, which are free. The topics will be listed on the website, Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. for the free gardening workshops. Well, regardless of who wins tomorrow, the world is still going to be a very dangerous place. We'll be talking in the next half hour with General John Wickham. General Wickham is our Buckmaster Show military and foreign affairs contributor. General Wickham was the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. He served four decades in the U.S. Army. He's now retired in Oro Valley, and he's with us on the live line. General, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Bill, and glad to be on your great program.
Thank you very much. You know quite a bit about South Korea, and we've been hearing about these huge rallies that are calling upon the leadership, the president of South Korea, to step down. Can you inform our listeners, what is this all about? What is the significance of this, General?
Well, it's significant. Ann and I know Park Geun-hye very well. She was acting first lady when we were over there when I was a commander, so we got to know her. She's a remarkable woman. She suffered greatly. Her mother and father were murdered by North Koreans, and somebody at some political rally rushed up and slashed her face with a knife. So she's been through a tough time, and I think she's a remarkable woman and doing reasonably well now. She's a victim of something that many politicals are victim of. They get surrounded sometimes with people aged that are not legitimate and that are not caring for the leadership of the country. And we've got it in this country, we've got it in Europe. And that's what's happened with this woman. She's had some advice from the family that was giving sort of religious advice to her. The father died and the daughter took over the business. And I guess the daughter had been involved in and government getting some secrets and passing them on, and there's corruption there. So it's unfortunate, but I think the hopeless will blow over.
So this is a huge scandal over there.
Yes, it is. And we've been through a lot of this in our own country.
Yeah. So how does this, it's vital to this country as far as our assets over there, that we have stable leadership in South Korea, correct, General?
Amen, amen. And many Americans need to recognize that South Korea is one of the greatest success stories in a diplomatic endeavor. It's a democracy like the America. It's West Point, for example. They wear the same uniforms as our West Point. And it's an economic giant in Asia, and we've helped create that, and it's kept the peace. And yes, it is a good ally, and we have to continue to work with them, and they want to do that. The South Koreans love America. They're called the Irish of the Orient because of their love of music, and much of that music is American. And if you pay attention to orchestras in the United States, many of the members of the orchestra are Korean, South Korean, because of the love of music.
Well, there are some very important nuclear issues that we need to address, General Wickham, today.
The most important, you're exactly right, Bill. I think the most important thing it's going to face our children and grandchildren is the nuclear world we live in. There's more and more power plants that are being built, and the waste that comes from them, what do you do with that waste? That waste can lead to plutonium, and plutonium is a major product that goes into nuclear weapons. The Japanese have many tons of plutonium, and we are working with them to dispose of it properly, which they want. But you're right. What's going on now, and Obama has proposed, and I think wisely so, that America needs to invest $1 trillion over the next two decades to modernize our nuclear capabilities, our weapons. And we need to do that because weapons like vehicles and anything else age. For example, every nuclear weapon has got gas inside of it, a special kind of gas that enhances the yield. And that gas has to be replaced. So there's sort of simple things that have to be done. And we've got to modernize the naval fleet, the submarines. That makes a lot of sense. We've got to modernize the aircraft. We've got aircraft that are flying 50 years old, and we need to do that. Now, ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, that's a debate. Should we modernize those and have new ones? ICBMs are very vulnerable, easy to target, and once you launch them, you can't recall them though you can with submarines and aircraft. So I think there's a debate going to go on about how we should invest this money. But I believe it's smart for America to continue to modernize, even though the moral objective of trying to eliminate nuclear weapons makes a lot of sense. But I don't think that's going to happen in our lifetime.
790-2040, if you would like to join in our conversation and enhance it with General Wickham. Something you just said about the intercontinental ballistic missiles that are land-based, those cannot be recalled, is that correct?
That's right. You could detonate them someplace in the atmosphere, but that would lead to a shower of nuclear material. But you can't turn them around. Once you've launched a cruise missile, it's on the way to the target. And homing in on the target. So difficult. And that's part of the issue.
General Wickham, when you think about it, when you think about the long history of nuclear weapons really in the world, it's really kind of a miracle we haven't had some kind of a horrible accident.
Amen. You're exactly right. And that, of course, is part of the very subject you raised, Bill, that nuclear weapons are a risk to the future. Now, it's not the great risk that we had in the Cold War when the Soviet Union, USSR, had 50,000 nuclear weapons, many of them aimed at the United States, and we had the same number, and vice versa. Well, we're now down to about 1,000 weapons each, still enough to cause great damage to the world, and we can do less with these weapons. But there is a risk of radical elements getting hold of nuclear capabilities. Remember, Sam Nunn years ago started a program when the Soviet Union began to collapse to help the Soviets find nuclear material in their country, gather it together, and dispose of it properly. Much of it came to the United States, and we have disposed of much of it to the tune of about $13 billion. Well, that program has been going on for years. Well, Putin just canceled the program for curious reasons. Maybe they don't need it anymore, don't want anybody wandering around Russia. But it's a danger that could lead to accidental war.
Is Russia upgrading their whole and modernizing their whole nuclear arsenal?
Yes, they are. And they're making capitalize, and so are we, and so are the Pakistanis, and so are the Indians. Any nation that's worth its weight is going to do that, do it secretly. The Israelis are doing it. The Israelis have probably 250 nuclear weapons, and they're modernizing it. So it's smart to do that, and they're going to continue. Now, a big issue you raise on that with Putin, the risk with Russia, the danger of Russia, is it really a big danger? Yes, it is in some sense. Putin's going to be around for the next decade or more. He has no contenders. There's no Politburo that existed in the USSR as sort of a hold on power. So Putin's going to be around. But the reality of the Soviet Union is it is demographically growing very old. And that cost is going to be enormous. The oil prices have dropped, so they've lost a lot of revenue. And in a way, Russia is a basket case economically, and it's foolhardy for them to be investing heavily in nuclear weapons. But they're going to do it because they see the threat from China potentially and from the United States. They see NATO moving closer and closer to the Soviet border. If I were a Russian, I would be really upset with that. Russia, as you know, with Napoleon and with Hitler, lost hundreds of thousands, millions of people. They feel threatened. And there was an understanding when the Soviet Union collapsed that we would not push NATO close to the Soviet Union, where Russia. Well, guess what? We are doing it. We're pushing right up to their border. So I can understand why the Soviets feels threatened and why they're going to do some of the things that they're doing.
All right, we're going to take a break right here with General John Wickham. If you have a question or a comment, 790-2040. We'll be right back with the general. Get an update on what's going on with the Iraq and the battle for Mosul. That's coming up next. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, and we've got our live streaming at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. Once a month, usually the first Monday of the month, we are joined by General John Wickham. It's always a pleasure to have him on our program, and we'll get back to our interview with him in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about one of our fine sponsors. They've been with us pretty much since the beginning, and we started this program, believe it or not, 6 years ago, coming up this January. My, how time flies. But Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, want me to urge you, and I do so with a wonderful, open feeling of hospitality that you will enjoy Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. It is a great getaway. There are scenic drives, great birding, hiking trails in the Gila National Forest and Wilderness. I think by this weekend, we'll all need a kind of out-in-the-wilderness getaway after the election. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. This might be a great weekend to get away. The full listing of the many places to stay and opportunities to recreate there on the website. Let's welcome now back to the program General John Wickham. General Wickham, the situation going on in Iraq with the Iraqi military retaking or pushing to take Mosul, from a military point of view, I know you've been observing this. Some of your thoughts, please.
It's very, Mosul is crucial. It's the second largest city in Iraq, Sunni mostly, and so it's crucial to take it over and to push the Islamic State out of that area. An interesting phenomenon, the Islamic State grew out of our failure in Iraq. When we went to Iraq and got rid of Saddam Hussein, which was good, we disbanded his army because we didn't want anybody that supported him. Well, that army became the army of the Islamic State, well-trained, because they had just fought a war with Iran. And secondly, we disbanded the Ba'ath Party, which was Saddam Hussein's political and economic party of advisors. Those advisors have become the intellectual base of the Islamic State. So in a sense, we created the Islamic State by foolish actions after the Iraq invasion. Now, Mosul has got to become back part of the Iraqi government. And eventually, I think Iraq government needs to think about a federation where they allow Sunni and Kurds and Shia and even Christians to have part of their own Iraq rather than to have one central country. It's kind of like the United States, where we have states and states' rights. But the Iraqis are not there yet. We need to move more in that direction, encouraging them. And secondly, while we're supporting the Mosul activity with air power and with advisors, it would be foolhardy, as some people are trying to do now, say that we need to get over there with boots on the ground and show these guys how to win the war. We did that in Vietnam and made a big mistake, because the Vietnamese were beginning to win the war, but slowly, and we tired of their slowness and said, step aside, we're going to show you how to win it. Well, we didn't, and we should have learned the lesson there. So I don't think that it makes sense to go over there. And secondly, the United States does not have the wisdom or the experience or durability to deal with a war that's been going on for centuries between Sunni and Shia. We can't solve their circumstances. They've got to solve it themselves. We can help with advice and counsel and some weapons, but I don't think we need to get involved in the war on the ground. But it's important for the Iraqis to take over Mosul, the second largest city, and one dominated by Islamic State, because it's going to lead to the collapse of the Islamic State.
I had a thought about Vietnam, just wanted to kind of get some of your thoughts about. In 1954, after the French, who had been in Vietnam forever, after they had that horrible defeat of their forces there, the name of the place kind of slips my mind right now.
Dien Bien Phu.
Thank you, General Wickham. But what if America had learned a lesson from what had gone on? It seems like we repeated, even using some of the same outposts as the French, if we had learned a lesson, think of the lives that would have been saved.
Oh, you're exactly right, Bill. History is filled with that. Hindsight is 20/20. You can look back and see things that you've done wrong. We need more legitimate vision for the future and wise vision for the future and caution. America cannot be the policeman of the world, nor can we expend our huge resources in rebuilding all world places all over the world. We've done a good job in many countries, like South Korea, but I don't think we should sort of invest heavily. Now, you're exactly right. If we had sort of allowed the South Vietnamese, we had trained them, and they were beginning to fight well and win their own insurgency. But we grew impatient with them and said, you're going too slow. Let us get in there, step aside, and we're going to bring in Marines and five divisions of the U.S. Army and show you how to win this war. Well, we see the results of it now. Yeah, we could have learned the lesson then. We didn't.
The strategy, of course, it changed, and you were over there, did your part, and so many gallant Americans fought in Vietnam. But the strategy would change, wouldn't it, from almost from month to month, didn't it, sir?
It did. You're right. But we got involved with counterinsurgency. The British learned the lesson very well in Malaysia after World War II, the end of World War II. And they realized that you have to get the locals, the indigenous, to finish their war and support them rather than for the British to go in and step aside. We're going to win this war for you. And we have the wisdom. We don't. You know, one of the interesting phenomena, Bill, that relates to this that we need to think about with China. We need to have continually good relations with China. In the square where Mao Zedong is buried, mm-hmm. A big tourist square, there is a small monument that Western visitors seldom, if ever, see. And it's all in Chinese. But it is a monument to the Chinese that died during the Opium War.
Huh.
And the words in that monument talk about what the Western nations did to China to destroy their culture with the Opium War. And there's a nationalism that has grown out of that, that it still exists today. Books are being written in China about it. The Chinese do feel nationalistic about their country, and they do feel threatened by the West and what the West has done to them. The same back with Russia and what Russia sees happen to them. When I was a lieutenant in Germany, as an illustration of suspicion, went down to Vienna in 1953 on a trip, a visiting trip. Train, the Russians stopped the train as they would. Everybody get interviewed on the train, and I thought I'd be a smart aleck and use some of my Russian that I had learned at West Point. The Russian guards did not like that at all, and they ordered me off the train for an extensive interview. Where did you learn Russian? Why are you here? What are you doing? So it's an illustration of suspicion of the West, and that exists in China and other countries.
Thank you. General Wickham, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
God bless, Bill. Thank you very much for your great program.
Thanks, General Wickham, with us. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Shack with Mike Shaw, Wake Up Tucson, then Talking Culture, our new talk show, 9 to 10 in the morning. Prager's on then from 10 to 12. Me, Buckmaster, back with you. 1204, Ray Allen also wishes you a great afternoon and evening.